How do we grow? By strength or resolve? Can we make it so? Can we shape the course of our lives according to our purpose and designs? Or add a single hour to the measure of our time? How can we ever venture into what is unknown when we are incapable of the smallest change on our own? Looking back over the span of our lives, we can see the marks that testify to how far we've come, how much we've grown, how much of His grace we have been shown. The marks of maturity on our lives, the evidence of the work of Christ, the seed that He has planted in our heart. The Lord has also watered and will refine every part. It is His intention to give it growth until it comes to fruition. He has sealed it with His oath, that He who began this good work in you will see it through. In this lies our hope, not in what we do. But we do not grow alone. Our roots are intertwined, one with another, so that your strength is mine. While we wait in expectation, no growth can be seen. The tender shoots that so quickly spring up must grow strong, lest they remain frail and green. Would we be overwhelmed by perils in store that His timing seeks to prepare us for? Let us endure our trials with patience, for it's in His goodness that we trust, and hold fast to our commitment, resting in His faithfulness to us. His goal is for our good. On this our assurance falls, that He who began this good work will surely make it grow tall.
Some of my deepest and my fondest memories growing up happened shortly after we moved down to Columbus. When I was about 7, we moved down from northern Indiana, and we got an apartment at first, but eventually we purchased a house. And when I was 8, we bought a house in like a smaller subdivision. It was fairly new, so there wasn't a lot of growth or development. Now, it was here that I really got a chance to watch my father's passion for trees and for planting things really blossom. Our yard was kind of bare because, remember, it was a newer subdivision, and we quickly realized we wanted to fill it with something. I mean, it was really just bland. There needed to be more there. Now, my father has always had this love of trees, and it's just something I've always remembered. A lot of times when we'd take walks during the summertime, we'd be walking along and he'd point out this tree and say, "That's this kind, and that's this kind of tree over here. That's a maple, and that's an ash." And sometimes he'd ask me, he'd point to a tree and say, "Okay, look at the leaves on that tree. What kind of tree do you think that is?" And whether I had the right or the wrong answer, he'd still tell me anyway. That was just what he was passionate about. Pine trees being one of his favorites because they're very hardy and a lot of them grow really quickly. So it didn't take us long that we decided, hey, we got to plant some trees. Now I've never really, but this was like the first time that I'd ever ordered trees on the internet. But there was like ArborDay.com and places like that would send you sometimes free trees. Now they weren't big hardy trees like this. They would be little saplings, small little baby trees. And we plant them and watch them grow. Ash trees and some peach trees, of course a pine tree. And hawthorn trees stood out in front of my window, and that was really, really kind of thorny. But I learned a lot in those years about planting trees and watching them grow. So why all this recollection? Why all this talk about trees? Well, trees play an extremely important part in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, especially in the last few weeks leading up to the resurrection. In fact, many of you already know that Jesus himself, his favorite metaphor was actually botanical. So throughout Jesus' ministry, you know, he's planting metaphors and parables like little seeds so the insights of God's character can really grow within us. So our scripture today begins in John chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles today, go ahead and turn there, or you can follow along on the screen. Or for the very first time at Ogleville Christian Church, we actually have a live event on the YouVersion Bible Lab. So if you want to follow along there, you can. You go to the main menu, and then there's three little lines down in the right-hand corner. You click on that, click on Events, and you'll find Ogleville Christian Church. And there you're going to see some more pictures, some notes from the sermon, some extras that you're not going to get here, and you can actually take notes yourself there. So if you want to follow along in that way, go right ahead. But it's important that we really take a deep look at these scriptures that we're about to read. And this is one of the very last teachings that Jesus is actually able to give to his followers before he's arrested and persecuted. So picture, if you will, where the passage of John 15 actually takes place. We just had the very Last Supper. Jesus has just finished washing the disciples' feet, and they were on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. They had just left the upper room. They're walking together, strolling along, talking, chatting with one another. Now, vineyards were very prominent in the Mediterranean world. So you could imagine that on their way to the garden, they may have passed a vineyard or two. Now, these vineyards had probably been around for generations. So the fruit that were on these vines were bountiful and beautiful. And Jesus, being Jesus, decides to take this chance to teach the disciples even more before he's arrested and persecuted. So follow along with me in what he says in John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that is in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Jumping down to verse 16. For you did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The beginning of these verses mark one of the seven I am statements of Jesus. Now, this is a very important metaphor that Jesus really wanted his disciples to grasp and share going forward. He wanted them to remember it. He wanted to remind them that they were the branches. The branches are those that produce fruit. But he also wanted them to remember that he is the vine. Now, when you think of vines, sometimes you have this picture, this idea of these dainty little green straws with leaves coming off of them. But in a vineyard, you get a picture more like this. Okay, when Jesus says, I am the vine, he's saying, I am the trunk of this tree. I am big. My roots grow deep. These branches cannot bear fruit without the nutrients I provide it. Now, later on in the scriptures, Paul builds upon this foundational metaphor from Jesus by expanding its meaning. Paul states in Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, now share in the same nourishing root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant towards the other branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. So we have this wonderful image of grafting, being grafted in. Now, I first discovered this idea of grafting, apart from the scriptures, a few years ago when I was just reading this book. And the idea just intrigued me so much, and it just fascinated me. So it's been on my mind for several years. Now, I'm sure we probably have some botanists and horticulturalists here with us today, or people who really love trees. So I ask you to please bear with me as we go through this grafting process. But if you're not extremely into trees, then this idea of grafting has probably just kind of escaped your mind. You probably just read these scriptures and you're like, grafting, oh yeah, sure, being connected to Jesus, that makes sense. But there's way, way more to it. So I wanted to find out more about what grafting is, and I needed to know the steps in it. So I went where everybody always goes, the internet and YouTube. Now, I watched countless, hours of grafting videos, just sitting there, like, learning what it truly means. And so what you do is you start with a very hardy, vibrant, and full of life rootstock. Okay, kind of like this tree. Now, I know many of you can't see it, but these branches are already beginning to bud. It won't be very long before they start bringing forth leaves. The sap is going to be really flowing through it. But this is a nice, hardy rootstock, or vine, or trunk. So you have to start there. And then often, you pick branches from a weaker tree that you want to kind of graft in the tree that maybe needs some reinvigoration, some new life. Or if you're a professional, you get really excited because you can create something brand new. Okay, a new creation, a hybrid. And so that's what we're going to do today. Now, I'm not saying I'm a professional by any means, but like I said, I have watched a ton of YouTube videos, so I might know a few things. What we're going to be doing today is creating something new, a hybrid, if you will. So what I have is a branch from a plum tree that I want to kind of replicate, that I know is vibrant and full of life and produces fruit, and a branch from a peach tree that also does the same. Now, there are a few things that we have to do to prepare the rootstock for the grafting process. There are a lot of different ways to graft, and unfortunately, this one is only able to have one type of graft done to it. Now, I know many of you are not going to like what I'm about to do because I'm in a way destroying this beautiful tree that's already beginning to bud. But in order to fully graft this properly, I have to break it. Now, it's kind of hard to watch, isn't it? But there's more to it. I can't just cut it. Grafting is a very delicate process. And if I don't do it just right, it won't take. So beyond just cutting this gorgeous tree, I have to split this trunk. I have to split this rootstock. And so that's what I'm going to do right now. Because what we're going to be doing is taking those branches, and we're going to be putting them in this broken rootstock here. And then I've already cut these beautiful branches off of this tree here, but I got to prune them down just a little bit more because they're not quite ready for the process. Like I said, it's a very delicate process, and if it's not done just right, the graft won't take. And what I'm going to do with these branches is I have to cut them. I know many of you can't see this, but what I'm doing is I'm whittling down this branch to kind of a fine point, almost a fine point, like a wedge. And what we're going to do is we're going to take that and we're going to stick it into this rootstock after I've created this wonderful little wedge here. And on either side of this this branch, we have the layers of the bark. And there's what's called the cambium layer in there. That's what has to be connected to the rootstock here. We want those cambium layers to touch and eventually grow together to heal and prepare the tree. Now, it takes time. This grafting process will not work right away. It will take a long time before it's quite ready. So I'm just going to take my knife out to remove my wedge so that these branches can be connected to this rootstock, intertwined, It's a deep and intimate connection that we have here. I'm going to take some tape and I'm going to bind it and wrap it. And like I said, it's going to take some time before this tree is fully healed and ready. It's not going to bear fruit right away, but eventually over the years, what you're going to have is this strong root trunk is going to provide wonderful nutrients for these branches to not only heal, but to grow. And what we're going to have then at that point is something brand new. We're going to have a hybrid, a peach, a plum tree, a new creation. Something beautiful and vibrant. I'm not going to finish it off now, but what you would do is you would take some type of a sealant to seal this, the rest of this rootstock here, so that no moisture and nothing can get inside of it, so you can allow the healing process to begin. Now, what we have here is, a new creation, something vibrant. Now, it's really important that we understand this grafting process, this metaphor, to really grasp this Romans 11 scripture and this John 15 passage. There's a few things I'd like you to pull from it. One is that you cannot grow or produce fruit apart from Christ. These branches, they won't produce fruit unless they're connected to this trunk, to this rootstock. They're going to die. Jesus said in verse 5 of John 15, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So it's important to remember, we don't cause ourselves to grow. And we don't grow the church either. God does that. We can plant seeds, we can cultivate and prepare the soil for the message, but it is God who ultimately causes growth. 1 Corinthians 3:7 reminds us of this when it says, "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, only God who makes things grow." Now, grafts are not instantaneous. That tree is not all of a sudden ready and prepared to bear fruit and grow. And I can't just attach this limb to a tree and expect it to grow right away. It takes time for the branches to infuse themselves together. Verse 4 of John 15 also states, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." We cannot bear fruit without being connected to the vine. Fruit is a byproduct of our connection with Jesus. You can cut a branch off a fruit tree, but you know it will not produce anything at that moment. You could set it on your desk, maybe put it in the sunlight, add some water to it, try to stick it back into the ground. But without the proper connection to that root, to the nutrient-giving root, it does nothing. In fact, it dies. Now, I like duct tape. Who else also really likes duct tape? Man, you can use it for everything, right? You can even make wallets out of it. I have a really nice duct tape wallet. But it doesn't fix everything, right? You can't fix everything with duct tape. At some point, it's not able to do its job. You can't just take a branch, okay, and duct tape it to this trunk, to this root. What would happen if you did? Nothing. Right? It can't connect. It's had no way to protect it, to keep it and prepare it for the process of really growing. Now, what I'm trying to say here is, what is your connection like with Jesus? Are you really grafted into the root of Christ like these branches here? Or do you sometimes just duct tape yourself to the side of the tree so that at any moment you can cut yourself loose and go on and then, you know, come back over here again and duct tape yourself back? Does it feel like you're truly grafted into Jesus and His love? The reason I ask this is because trouble has a way of revealing just what kind of connection that we truly have. If we just have a duct tape type of connection, this connection is not going to hold up to storms, right? Eventually, the duct tape is going to become brittle and crack. If the branch isn't dead already, that branch cannot grow. So when you face challenges, who do you turn to? When we graft ourselves into Jesus, when we're really deeply entwined and our identity is found in Him, is hidden in Him, that's when we really can grow. Romans 7:4 tells us, "Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to another, to Him, to Jesus, who is raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God." Like our poem at the beginning, God makes us grow tall. This root, with all of its nutrients and ability to provide water to these branches, will make these branches grow tall, and eventually they will produce fruit. Now, there's another important process to the grafting, and that's pruning. Pruning is a very necessary part. I prune these branches to prepare them and get them ready for the grafting process. Well, about 4 or 5 years ago, Julie and I decided, hey, we want to buy some trees. We want to plant some trees because our yard looks a little bare. You know, I was recollecting my childhood and how boring it looks. So let's add some life and vibrancy to our yard. So we went and got a peach, a plum, and a pear tree. Now, a couple years ago, our pear tree, unfortunately, was hit by some disease that was going around at the time. Completely wiped out the pear tree. I mean, it was dead. It's gone. But my peach and my plum, I've waited for 4 or 5 years to just, you know, reap some fruit, a harvest from it. Well, last year, we finally got that opportunity. We didn't have a hard enough winter, so it wasn't able to freeze the buds or the flowers. And I saw peaches begin to grow. And so, of course, I'm getting all giddy and excited because I get to have peaches and all the wonderful desserts and stuff that come with that. And I'm able to share those peaches with others. So over the season, I'm watching these peaches grow, and they're getting bigger and bigger and heavier and heavier. I watched as all the branches on my tree began to bow. Several of them broke off. I had several major limbs from my tree, very strong, hardy limbs, just completely broke from the weight. Now, I was able to glean some of those peaches off there and share them with others, but a lot of them were not fit to eat. A lot of them began to rot. I couldn't pick the peaches quick enough before they just started rotting on the tree, and the birds got them and the ants got them. And in my naivety, I realized that I hadn't done something so important to fruit tree production, and that was prune them. I had just left all these peaches on there, and as I told you, they began to break and it ruined the tree. So over the winter, thankfully, I was able to do a little bit of research. Thank you, YouTube, again. And I've pruned it back quite heavily. In fact, it's starting to be reinvigorated. I thought I had just completely killed the tree, but it's proved to be more resilient than that. Pruning is necessary. Jesus said in verse 6 of John 15, "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned." Now, there are a couple of things I want us to kind of glean from this idea of pruning. First, that we're dying branches in desperate need of attaching ourselves to the growing vine, Jesus Himself. If I didn't graft these branches into this root, to this trunk, to this vine, they're going to die. Now, sin breaks us off from our connection to God and His family. And in our fallen state, we're grafted into this tree of sin. Sin tore us away from our true Father and grafted us into this family of rebellion. So like the branches today that I grafted, I had to prune them away from the other tree. We have to prune ourselves away from this toxic vine and attach ourselves to the living vine. And secondly, coming back to our discussion on connection, pruning helps us produce more fruit. If I had pruned my peach tree properly, it would produce better and vibrant and healthier fruit instead of what I had so sadly gotten. So what areas of your life do you need to prune? Are there individuals in your life that you know are dragging and bringing you down? You're no longer able to be a wonderful influence in your life like Jesus did with so many. Instead, they're persuading you in the wrong directions. If that's the case, then it's time to sever that connection. You've got to prune yourselves away. Stop letting them steal the sun from you so that you can produce fruit. But what other things do you need to prune in your life? We're so good at staying connected to the world, to social media, to our smartphones. What if we took some much needed time and got more connected to God's Word? What areas of your life do you need to prune, to cut off so that your connection to Jesus can really deepen? We want to produce fruit for Jesus. Paul reminds us in Galatians that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the kind of fruit that we want to expose because it not only benefits us, but it benefits others. The world so desperately needs this fruit. But like I mentioned before, we cannot produce fruit unless we are deeply connected to Jesus. When you try to produce fruit apart from Him without that connection to Christ, it's actually counterproductive. Now, you can fake it. You can fake producing fruit when you try to be joyful and hopeful, but without knowing where your true hope comes from, then you just get frustrated. Or think about trying to force yourself to be patient. I'm going to be patient. What ends up happening? In your forcing yourself trying to be patient, you just get frustrated. It just doesn't work. It's because the fruit that's produced through you is actually a byproduct of your connection to Jesus. Prune out those distractions so that you can deepen your connection. And this brings us to our last point. When you're grafted to Christ, you not only share in His blessings, but you share in His sufferings too. Jesus says in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Many of us think, especially when we're young Christians, that because we're following Jesus, we're not going to have problems, right? But Jesus says Himself right here in these scriptures that you're going to have troubles. You can expect sorrow and sadness and grief and disappointment. But Jesus promises us something here. He doesn't just leave us hanging by telling us we're going to have troubles. Remember that at the beginning of this message, I mentioned that trees are a really important part of Jesus' ministry while He was here on this earth with us. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us then that Jesus Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The cross was often called the tree from the simple fact that it was made from wood. But this tree plays such an important role and part. Christ took our sins and chose to die on that tree. This is where our true meaning for grafting really takes place. You see, just as I cut this beautiful tree that was vibrant and growing, it was broken. Christ gave His body to be broken for us, so that at that point, we could be grafted into Him. He took us, these dying branches, rescued us, reinvigorated us, gave us new life that only He can offer. You must understand that grafting cannot take place without the cut. In order to properly graft this together, the cut had to be made. The split had to be made in the trunk, in the root. And then I had to whittle down, I had to cut and wound these branches. Our wounds, our suffering, open us to Jesus. And His wound was inflicted on the cross. Now this graft is not instantaneous. It takes time, time to heal, time to mature, time to grow. And over time, the life of this root, of this rootstock, of this trunk, will enter into the life of these trees, reinvigorating them, making them grow so that they can produce fruit. And what you have is you're going to have something new, unique. Your identity, though, will be founded in Christ. It's beautiful. I read not long ago that an artist and professor at Syracuse University in New York was so fascinated with this idea of grafting that over the course of 9 years, he had grafted over 40 different kinds of fruit into one tree. Oh man, it was gorgeous. There were blossoms of different colors all over this thing. But that's not so different from God's kingdom, right? We all, like these branches, have been grafted into the root of Christ to live, to grow, producing fruit for one another and for Him. So are you connected to Christ? Because you cannot grow, you cannot produce fruit without Him. What and where in your life needs some pruning? Do you need to prune yourself away from situations, from people? What do you need to prune to deepen your connection with Jesus? And what steps can you take to daily do that? As the body of Christ, each of us wants to be a branch. And as a branch, we understand that not only are we connected to Christ, but we're connected to each other, bearing fruit for one another. So maybe you're here today and you're saying, I want to prune myself away from this world. I want to be more deeply connected, grafted into Christ. And if that's the case, then I invite you to come up front and do so. I would love to talk to you about what that connection truly means. Maybe you want to make a lifelong commitment to Jesus, because that's what grafting really is, what it really takes. Maybe you want to be baptized and show others that you truly are a follower of Jesus. Or maybe you're already grafted into Christ, and you're thinking to yourself, I want to join and be grafted into this growing, wonderful place that is Ogleville Christian Church. And I would love to help you make that connection as well. If these are the kinds of connections that you would like to make today, I invite you to do so as we stand and we sing our hymn of invitation.